Raw at 6 a.m. Where do you start on a gig like this? This is the hottest seat in international radio here. Howard Stern has gone off into the fringe of the American culture. You're breathing him. He's spewing out from the satellite, and we're in the hottest building, broadcasting from New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and Yakima. All right, not Yakima, but soon. What do you start off with something like this? Everybody feel good this morning?
Oh yeah, I feel good.
It's a slow start because this is officially still the end of New Year's Eve for most people, I think. What do you eat when you have a hangover? For me, it's cheeseburgers, whatever. But I see here this is we reported that Super Size Me director Morgan Spurlock has optioned. Blah 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 blah. Have you seen the movie where they go Super Size Me, Hutch?
I'm familiar with it, but I get indigestion if I go see movies like that, Dave. So.
Well, yeah, but you eat McDonald's, right?
I eat McDonald's now. My cure for a hangover is actually a Big Mac, a large fries, and a strawberry shake.
See, everybody's got their own vibe there as far as you know what you're going to eat. For me, it's the two cheeseburger Happy Meal supersized with a Coke.
There you go. Cures me.
The trouble with it is people call in, everybody's talking about the latest diet. Everybody's talking about what the latest you're going to take when they see on, what is it, Leptopril or Leptoprin or whatever on the television when they go, you only can take this if you really need to lose a lot of weight because they know that everybody else is sitting back there, right? Have you taken this stuff?
Never. Right?
You've never taken. Have you seen the commercial?
I've seen it. Is that the one? Would someone pay $175 for this diet pill?
Yeah, and that's the one. And they always advertise it as, okay, if you've got 25 pounds or more to lose, then this will be the one that you absolutely want to go for. And all of us, of course, think, oh, I only need to lose 2, 3, 4 pounds, especially before the summertime here. So I'll take a couple of those and lose it in twice the price, half the time, right? Well, that's the way I think here. You got to cut the corner, right? Twice. Some people burn their candle at both ends. Some people burn their candle at the middle. And some people take a flamethrower to their candle, right? Wait, 17 times the light in 1/3 the time. David Lee Roth, first thing in the morning, 6 a.m. What am I doing on the radio? Way, way, way back when I was 7 years old, Uncle Dave, who's actually listening in now down in Boston on 104 BCN, gave me my first stereo when I was 7 years old. And it was Ray Charles. It was on my birthday, October 10th. My pop was in school. We lived in 21 East Alton Court, which was student housing down in Massachusetts. Pop was just starting college on the GI Bill, been in the Air Force, is stationed in Casablanca. And he rode a bike to his school every day, and there wasn't a whole lot around the house. What do you do when there's no money in the family? Well, you go outside. That's the first thing. Hey kids, look, it's raining. Why don't you go play in the rain? Hey kids, look, it's snowing. Don't you want to make a snow? Hey kids, it's a force 5 gale. Hey, it's Katrina. You play outside, or you listen to the stereo. You listen to the radio. It wasn't radio at the time. You follow. It wasn't even really stereo, actually. It was hi-fi. And the first song that I put on was, I didn't realize it at the time, was Ray Charles. Oh, it's crying time again. I didn't have any idea where radio was going to go from there. That was just in the very early 60s. And in fact, I have some very special guests coming up a little bit later. From that time period, somebody who's very well tied into my background in the music. But I recollect that at that time it was screaming boss top 40 jocks. It was all, hopping and bopping and popping, baby, with the boss bed for the top of the pop, smash gold with the timely tunes for those with a textured taste. Shut up, Dave. No time to waste. Oh, yeah. And then in, 1966, Big Daddy Tom Donahue slug in from, San Francisco, and he did it in KPPC, which, lo and behold, was Pasadena, California. My family had moved to the West Coast then, and I remember discovering that, and Bob Dylan was playing on the side of the record there. My Uncle Manny is coming up a little bit later. He's showing up at 8 o'clock, coming around the corner here. In fact, it was Uncle Manny who gave Bob Dylan his first job on January 24th, 1961. Uncle Manny started the famous Cafe Wah, W-H-A with a question mark, which was named after my grandmother's favorite expression, which was, wah, wah, wah. I think also Manny fired Bob for being late several weeks later. Ah, there's that Raw thing again. No, this is true stories. Wait till you hear Uncle Manny's stories. He had flown in a bomber in World War II, and then in classic Kerouac fashion, you know, in the early 50s, made his way to New York City. And actually, 1961 was the first time that I came to New York City. Big year for this little burb, huh? Underground radio. Do they still call it that? Is this underground? This is free radio, right?
I'm not sure there's any underground anymore anywhere. Everything seems to be above ground these days. You know what I mean, boys?
Yeah,
this is free FM, Dave.
Well, now, with the internet, you have a flat world. Information used to have to, like, climb upward on the globe or seep downward. If you headed for Calgary, Canada, you had to set your watch back 20 years. If you went down below the belt line of the United States into all the best places to play, which used to be, the Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, etc., then you set your watch back X amount of years, because information only happened really in, Los Angeles, arguably New York and Chicago in the middle. Anything that you saw on the TV set came from a 16-millimeter camera that got flown in on an airplane from wherever it was a day before. If it was overseas, it was 2 days old. You know, now this is the world of Christiane Amanpour. You know, where does she work? Can you name it? Tell me, where's her home base? You know, she's everywhere. Celebrities today don't actually live anywhere. Celebrities today are just kind of exist. Where does Carmen Electra live? And don't tell me with Dave Navarro. Come on. No, really. It's where does Pamela Anderson live, actually? Okay, don't tell me that you know where her kids go to school. Where does she actually live? Because just like Diddy, we can't even keep track of his name. Where does Diddy live? The IRS can't keep track of Diddy. Where does he live? He's in Miami. He's New York. He's in... when we played down at, what was it, Atlantic City? Remember, he was throwing a gig down there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, now you exist everywhere. And that's kind of what's going on. We're broadcasting also on the internet, which is worldwide. Last time, Hutch, that we worked together in Boston. We were receiving emails from as far away as London, Manila, Bogota, allegedly.
Yeah.
No, these are all places that we played, and I think that this is kind of the force five of what's coming up in popular radio. Sooner or later, there's going to be the international entity. Whether or not it'll be us, we can at least start the fire, you know. But you kind of have to know your way around those places. What kind of music do they play in Europe? Where are you from, Aldous Huxley?
I was born in the wonderful town of Birmingham.
All right, we played Birmingham. That's Ozzy Osbourne town.
Ozzy Osbourne,
all
man.
All right, then! All right.
Lived in London for a decade or more. Been over here for 25 years now.
Okay, I'm working in the radio the whole... No, you worked in with the punk bands early, remember?
I did a little roadieing with punk bands around the London area. I've done a little local roadieing in Boston, too. Like to say hi to my roadie friends. In Boston, they're listening right now.
We're broadcasting everywhere, worldwide, davidleeroth.com. Give us a buzz. Do we got phone numbers or some set that's here?
Yeah.
What is he pointing at? 866-313-3733. Is that what it is? 3733. Say that 15 times with a hangover. I don't have a hangover from New Year's Eve. I have a hangover from doing commercials last night. Commercials are a gas. You know, hey, come on. You know, I don't jump on the edge of the radio while you're trying to make a living. What do I care? I'm not running for office. I'm not trying to save the world. That's Bono's job. I'm just trying to save 40 or 50 cities.
Stop poverty, stop hunger, somebody stop Bono.
No, I think he's got a point, you know, but there's a point where you fairly wade through your sobriety. Give us a track one time and see if we can wade through this, Hutch. Hit it up.
Oh,
School's back in, babe. When does school actually start again? Does anybody know?
It used to start in September.
I always based my entire schedule still based around what happens in school, right? I still got summer vacation. I still do Christmas vacation. I still do, Hanukkah. You know, David Lee Roth lights the menorah. Hey, go turn the music up when I say that, brother. It's the exclamation point. Put it back down here. You know what? You know what I think they ought to do as far as schooling and stuff? I'm going to bring this up because, having been around New York City for a while, I kind of got an inkling of what's going on. I've worked in all of the five boroughs now as the EMT, only at night, but I think that's a working template for what's, happening in the city. And certainly what happens in New York is a working template for, the rest of our cities. We're talking to Philly here. We're talking to Boston and Cleveland and Pittsburgh and so forth. And we were talking the other night about Ground Zero. Okay, you familiar with what's going on? Have they actually decided what's happening with Ground Zero? Have they come to a conclusion as to what it's going to look like or what it is? Don't all answer at the same time.
No, there was some architectural kind of debates, and they had several models that they were going through.
I think they
homed in on one.
Yeah. Okay, so have they actually come to a conclusion on one? Do you know, Dukes, or whatever? Because the last that I saw was... it looked like they had left two holes in the ground. It was not holes in the ground, obviously, but they had excavated, some space like where the basements had been, like where the buildings had been. Planted. Like if you put a spear into the ground, when you pull it out, it's evidence that it was there. And I understand the poetic significance of that, and certainly, the significance of everybody, who. Passed away or, more importantly, got passed away on that awful occasion there. But I think I see an opportunity for something a little more colorful than just another very solemn, very austere kind of a site. Anybody who's ever been to Pearl Harbor, you you look out upon the water, but the water is a moving thing. Most people don't know actually you went to that, Brian. Didn't we when you went to Hawaii, did you go to the Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, I checked it out, yeah.
Elvis is the one who paid for that, by the way. Truthfully.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. And what keeps it actually live, as opposed to something just really solemn and dark and silent, is that the water is always moving. And as you look at the water, nobody looks at the walls of the building or whatever that was there. You look out on the water and imagine what happened and what lies beneath. You follow? And I think that what they're planning down in Ground Zero is a little bit different because that's on land. And that's a non-changing environment a little bit here.
Yeah.
And I'm playing a little bit of the Schoolboy Crush in the background because whoever thought that I would end up digging school, huh? No, I think what needs to take place now is we create a monument, create something that is austere, like the Black Wall from Vietnam. I think that's superb. You know what they've done up there. I've seen designs. I've seen a number of tributes or whatever you might call it up in front of the United Nations. But let's use the space for something a little more. Little more. Little more. Little more. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just a little bit of a Schoolboy thing. Why don't we take Ground Zero? Let's fence it off, okay? The EPA is giving us a lot of noise about, it's okay to breathe down there. Sure. Everybody's coughing. Everybody's snotting and coughing like a stripper on a Sunday morning. You got everybody over in Brooklyn, showing up with their laundry off the line that looks like, the rhythm section did your dry cleaning for you. Seriously, you got to put windshield wipers on your sunglasses. It's positively unbreathable. You know what we got to do with it? You got to give it to the kids, okay? We got to rope it off, and you got to put down the schools there. What I'd like to see happen there would be, let's start with housing. If you're going to school, I don't care if you're making pottery or if you are a full-blast house painter. I don't care if you are an artist who paints in oil, or I don't care if you're in the military. I don't care if you are a doctor, a lawyer, if you can demonstrate effectively that you're an engine chief, which Wayne Newton actually is, then there's a place for you. And you know how hard it is to go to school around here. You know how hard it is to pay your way around here. How many more, $850 baby carriages and 14 Starbucks from exactly where you stand? You stand out in front of the Joe Papp Theater today, you can see three Starbucks without turning your head. Now, keep in mind, I have the peripheral vision of a carrier pigeon here because I live on the Lower East Side. Oh, yeah, hello, baby. So maybe I'm exaggerating. They didn't hire me to underzate. Underzate. I'm going to make up my own words here. Okay? But let's build the monument in the middle, and then let's put up the schools. And instead of just one solemn holiday, great, have that holiday. But then let's create the holiday that celebrates the first daycare center that we opened up down there. And the first time we reinstated the artist in residence program. So whether you're making little ceramic pots or you're a poet or you're the next Martin Scorsese, there's a place for you to live. I don't care if it's those little Japanese boxes when you get too drunk, like I stayed in Yokohama. That's an allegation, but I'm not going to get in the way of it.
No, I'm Yakima.
That was Yakima. What if we create the new theater district, okay? You want to put off Broadway? Where's the new Quentin Tarantino going to go? Where's the new Spielberg? That's pretty much the scope there. Where's about the new acting schools? Let's get Harold Guskin down there. Let's get
Are you talking about the actual Ground Zero area?
Oh, yeah. Instead of putting up another boring office building and a whole bunch of more commerce and celebrating New York City as nothing but business, what makes it the swinginest is all the people who have the style, who have the attitude. Well, I don't care if that's somebody working a cash register downtown at a Korean deli or if you're a full-blast rock star. New York is the place for that kind of thing. Give us a call about this, 866-313-3733. We're going to go away, but not for long, baby.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Roth Live, 6 a.m., 866-313-3733. Give us a call. Also, we're on the internet. We're international. www. Was that three of them? Did I actually say three?
Does it matter anymore?
There's a lot of W's. There's a davidleeroth.com. You can get it there. Or The David Lee Roth Show. And you run the words all together like the last Rolling Stones record or a racehorse name, .com. Give us a call, 866-313-3733. You know what? You want to go to the real track on this?
Sure.
Shut this down, man, and go to the real track. B. Young, are you with me, man?
Can I hear you?
Give us one time here, because I got the schoolboy crush. Swing it up here, man.
Okay, here we go.
Down here with Sage. Let's take a phone call one time here. 866-313-3733. Anybody on the line there? Go. Hook me up one time.
Dave.
Roth here. How you doing?
Oh, man. Great. Great to hear you on the radio.
Where are you calling from, my friend?
Los Angeles, California.
Oh, are you listening in on the internet?
Yes, I am.
What happened to the Corolla show? Isn't he on, with Kimmel or something right down this morning? Didn't he just start this morning?
We got to give it 2.5 hours to spare before he comes on.
Oh, that's right. There's a time differential there. Okay.
I work the late shift. What can I say?
What late shift are you working? No, really. You work the late shift on radio or you work the late shift as a security guy? Where do you work the late shift at?
I actually worked a late shift for a multinational bank. I'm a customer service rep. I get off at 12 a.m.
So is that a life dream? Did you actually, when you were on Dad's Day, and you know, when everybody says, I want to be like my dad, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a policeman, then you said you want to work in that field?
Now, that, this pays the daytime bills.
Okay, you know,
life dream, the life dream was is your life, man. I would kill to be like you.
Well, okay. Let's separate it out, the wheat from the chaff here. So what part of the life would you prefer? The daylight or the nighttime?
the nighttime.
Because those are allegations, man. That's innuendo and rumor spread by my competitors to destroy my good name here. Have you ever thought of making music? What kind of music are you listening to these days? Talk to me about that.
Well, what's in the CD chamber right now? A little bit of Weezer, a little bit of The Replacements. Always Desert Classic, Van Halen, 1984.
That, you know, that material never seems to drift far, huh? Even the last album went to platinum on that here. Put on number 8 there, Hutch. We're going to spin that up in a second here. What part of Van Halen, what incarnation of Van Halen did you like the best? The Roth version or the Van Hagar version?
Well, I never got to see you guys. When I mean you guys, there's only one Van Halen.
Well, wait a second, because you know what? Then this is an important point here, because it's a lot like Jimi Hendrix. He was interrupted while he was still young and good-looking, right, when he still had the Sergeant Pepper jacket and everything, and that's how it is permanently emblazoned in your memory. He never had to go old. He never had to get wrinkles. He never had to get gray hair. He never had a bad album. In fact, he only made 3 albums, didn't he?
Yep, 3 on studio albums.
Only 3 studio
albums. 50 posthumous albums.
Well, that's like Tupac Shakur. He's more popular now that he's gone. He's young, he's hot, and he's dead. Hit the track there, brother, one time. Go!
Benvenuti da David Lee Roth. Zen e l'arte della risata. Welcome to David Lee Roth, Zen and the Art of Laughing Last.
Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-FREE, 313-3733. You can find us on www.thedavidleeroth.show or www.davidleeroth.com. Animal.
Yo, yo.
How you like in New York City? How you like in New York City so far, brother?
Oh, man, it's great up here, man. I just got to get used to this weather and getting up kind of early. I'm like getting up at the time I go to bed in L.A., you know, but I'm getting used to it.
Now, where are you working in L.A. these days?
Oh, I work at a strip club when I'm not on the road with you. See all the beautiful girls, you know, I see them come and go.
Well, but wait, you're where you from goes along with this music, right?
Oh,
from,
yeah.
Ain't you from, like, Montgomery, Alabama?
Yes, I'm from Montgomery, Alabama, you know, so I'm kind of familiar with all the music and stuff you're talking about, you know, because, like, My first one was like Sam Cooke and Bobby Rydell. That was the first music I ever heard on a recording, you know. And then eventually he did hear Ray Charles, you know. But
where isn't Ray Charles down from, like, down south or something?
I think he's from Georgia, I think.
There,
I know that's where he got his start at, in Georgia.
No, he's not from Georgia, is he? No, he's from Florida.
The movie just came out. Somebody should know.
I thought he was from somewhere in Florida.
My headsets are frying out here. Somebody come here and fix this up here. You can go ahead and take a listen there and set me up. No, Ray Charles is like from Augusta, Florida.
I thought it was Augusta, Georgia.
You're thinking of James Brown.
Oh.
No, seriously, you're thinking of James Brown.
Oh, okay.
I think that Ray seriously comes from Florida.
Okay.
And who else comes from Florida like that? There's somebody else who's quite famous about that. Look at these guys running around like crazy.
Get those headphones going.
Got your new cans there, Dave.
He's struggling. At any rate, we got a thing here. Let me see. He's stepping in the way there. Give me back. Residents of Normal, Illinois have started ducking their town's unusual name and saying they're from nearby Bloomington instead. I'm from Bloomington, Indiana.
Bloomington, Indiana.
Who circled this? God, that's just fascinating. Fire whoever sent that in you. We happy few. What are you signaling me? You want to take a phone call?
We can take a phone call, sure.
Swing. Who's there? Who's there?
Hi, it's Jessica.
Jessica. Is this Jessica Simpson?
Not really.
But close.
Do you look like Jessica Simpson?
Not for a number of years.
Talk to me, Jessica. What's cooking?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Dave, for being you, because I am a big fan in your former existence. But all that I hear is about Dave the Star and not Dave the Man.
Well, here's your opportunity for this. Consider this the David Lee Roth reality series, then. And you can go ahead and ask your question, and then I will give you the inside preview.
I heard rumor that some time ago you became a married man, and I hadn't heard anything since. I don't know if there were any little David Lee Roth Juniors running around. Can you fill us in?
Absolutely. My love life is not part of the public spotlight. I've had a couple of good love affairs that got ruined because when somebody steps into the spotlight, people's behavior changes. Mm-hmm. People correspond with each other very, very differently. I think probably the most dramatic example of that is with Nick and Jessica. They never had a chance, never had an opportunity. Do we run out of that music, man? No, we never had. They never had a chance. They had every time they would turn around, anytime they'd go and they'd sit in a restaurant or what have you, then it changes your behavior. When you know that people are watching you, when you know that people are listening to you, then you never have an opportunity to become intimate with each other. I've had some great love affairs, and some of them you're familiar with. The only one that I would give away would be Apollonia. Do you remember from Purple Rain?
You actually dated her?
Yeah, well, I knew her when she was Patricia. There was a period of time where I was hanging around with somebody who was very well known here in New York City. And in fact, I was close to thinking about getting married, you know. And that's not at all the unthinkable thing. Obviously, I came from somewhere and my mother is listening in on this. And she's always hitting me up for the great grannies and what have you. I used to carry on like crazy. Geez, in the 70s and the 80s, I slept with every pretty girl who had two legs in her pants. I slept with an amputee, too, but she was only missing a forearm. I think Paul McCartney would agree that that qualifies. Yeah? Do we have to go to spots? Is that what you're flagging me for? Are these my spots coming up? Are these my works of...
You may be in there somewhere, Dave.
Okay, these are my works of art. Don't go away. We'll be right
back.
David
Lee Roth in the morning.
Live in front of your naked, steaming eyes, I think this is my first real office job. It's the first, this is the first one that I've ever had where I've actually had to be in the same place for more than, I don't know, three mornings in a row. I got almost 40 stamps in my passport. Now, you've got about as many, too. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I'm used to waking up at 4 in the morning. That's not an issue at all. I'm familiar with that time. Doesn't matter if you... if you stayed up or waked up. In fact, I stayed up tonight.
I figured you did. Yeah.
Give me a little volume here. I want to sing a lot of this.
A life said all his words. I thought he was a bitter man. He spoke of women's ways.
Guess what he spoke of?
Refuted and accused you before you even know. For love is blind and you're far too kind. Don't ever let it show. I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was younger, I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was stronger,
the can't touch a pretty show. Play a little guitar there, brother.
David Lee Roth， 一个高速度的电台。David Lee Roth， High Speed Radio， Radio Roth。
Sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
Let's talk about New Year's resolutions. I don't ever make any. New Year's is for beginners. Professionals get it out of the way by Labor Day. Give me a call, 866-313-3733, or you can email us or whatever at www.thedavidleerothshow.com or davidleeroth.com. You make any New Year's resolutions? I think it's a ritual, huh? New Year's is heavy around New York City, though. New York is rocking. The city lights up, and everybody packs into Times Square.
It's amazing.
Well, most cities actually can't, you know, what goes on in terms of, okay, we have a little public civic action, and the whole city falls to its knees. How many parades do they have here? Something like 400 a year. Everybody's got their own parade here, man. My favorite is Puerto Rican Day. Seriously, dude. No, it's because everybody listens to the same radio station in their cars. So you'll have a whole block of cars down on the Lower East Side. There'll be 15 automobiles all tuned to the same stereo, all with killer systems in the car, all with the boom. And everybody's, you know, boom. Oye, míralo, baby. give me a phone call one time here. We can pick it up over the loop. You got somebody? Swing, who's on now?
Hey, Diamond.
Hey, who's this?
This is Georgie D from Boston, bro.
Georgie B, what can I do for you this morning?
Remember me from the party we had? I'm in the band called Red Ball Jet. We did a shot. I took the name from your old band.
I don't recollect exactly, but I know the band Red Ball Jet. Did we speak at one point in time? There was a big, it was St. Patrick's Day, allegedly.
Yeah, we did the party at the Palladium, I think.
Okay, and are you still working in the band?
We're working steadily every Friday night at Sammy's Patio down the beach, you know.
Okay, and is this an ongoing pursuit? How long have you been doing this? Do you qualify this as a tribute band?
No, actually, we do a lot of originals.
Oh, okay.
I just took the name because I'm a big fan of yours, and I took the name because I liked it.
The Red Ball Jet was actually a tennis shoe at one point in time.
No kidding. Yeah. I didn't know where you actually got the name from.
Yeah, Red Ball Jets. Red Ball Jets made you jump higher. That was on the cartoons. No, really. You had the bounce that way. And what instrument do you play, man?
I'm lead singer, Diamond.
Oh, wow. And what kind of music are you listening to these days in your stereo on the right?
What do you think? I got every single old Van Halen from 1 to 1984. I don't listen to Sammy Hagar.
Okay,
I just want to verify that.
Well, I won't tell him you said that. Do you have a New Year's resolution?
My resolution is to just to be the best father I can.
Okay, now what? A father to what? A father to what? What do you got?
My son Justin DeChico and my lovely wife Charlene.
Justin DeChico is that his middle name or is that his last name?
No, that's name's George DeChico. I'm a full-blooded Italian, Diamond Dave.
Okay, and what's the kid going to be when he grows up?
He could be whatever he wants to be, and I tell you right now, he's a great drummer at 8 years old.
Okay, well, I got to tell you, I couldn't possibly disagree with you more. If he grows up without any kind of direction, if he's going to grow up without having gone to music school, only a fool thinks that experience and non-direction can replace an education. Even Miles Davis came out of Juilliard here. You've got to have some kind of a format, especially if Junior is going to go into music, and especially if Junior is learning to play an instrument that isn't going to be really used anymore pretty soon here. Virtually everybody these days is learning in on the keyboards, the digital, etc., etc. And if homeboy is going to play something like the drums or a trombone or even an electric guitar these days, then he has got his work cut out for him. And the idea that he's going to be sent off into music and he's just going to listen to some records or something, or that you might just share with him a few ideas, is like sending him out with a fishing pole and no bait. What you got to do is figure out a little something, a program already for the kid. And it's not a whole lot of fun for the dads and the moms, so you got to get a real teacher. You got to get somebody who's not easily impressed with Junior's shenanigans, because all kids know how to get the mommy and daddy's heart. We all know how to make the face. We all know how to put our hands in our pockets and Shuffalo to Buffalo. And what you need, if you love that kid, if you truly love that kid, you're going to go find yourself some hardcore Eastern Bloc Russian teacher who knows every rudiment there is and who's not going to be impressed in anything. And if Junior's even late to the lesson, he's going to kick his little ass out the door. Because a real important part of music is being on time, baby. Yeah. Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-FREE. And then when Junior has the alphabet under his belt, you dig, he knows the whole alphabet of music, the rudiments, babe, A, B, C, D, and you say, well, why should he learn somebody else's alphabet? Well, the last I looked, there was no another letter to the alphabet. No matter how hard you tried, you did not invent the 26th letter. What is there, 24, 25 letters? No, seriously, come on. If there's 24 letters, nobody invented a 25th, ever. All right? Same 24 over and over again. And then when you know the alphabet of your musical instrument or your computer or your machine or your helicopter or your submarine or the pen and pencil that you draw with, when you know the whole alphabet, then you can make a choice. Then you can have a vision. Because the last I looked, the Bible was written in the identical same alphabet as all my favorite pornography. Give me one more call, 866-313-FREE, 3733. Go, baby. Who's on now? Who's on first? Spin it up again. Who's there?
Bruce.
Bruce, we're off to a great start. What's cooking? What's on your mind?
Is it Dave?
This is Dave.
Dave, man. Wow, long-time fan throughout the 80s of what I consider the only Van Halen ever to be.
Thank you so much. What's your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution? Well, I got a couple. I want to quit smoking. I want to quit cheating. And I'm gonna.
Okay, well, stop right there. Stop right there. I think that in terms of smoking, I'm kind of torn between two lovers here. All my favorite music could never have been created in a smoke-free environment. None of my favorite books could have ever been written in a smoke-free environment. None of my favorite lyrics or poems, none of my favorite movie scripts, none of my favorite movies could have ever existed in a completely smoke-free environment. And occasionally, I do smoke. I smoked my whole body weight. Times 30, you know, all the way up until, you know, I made it up to the EMT, and, you know, I stopped for that, and I'm a pilot now. But I'm torn because I do smoke, and yet I hate the way that smells, man. It's no, really, you know, if I'm out having drinks and we're getting the $20 a dance or whatever, I might work my way through a whole pack of cigarettes. And then I may have to be forced to join the whole new voter block that's out in front of every apartment building and club and nightlife or whatever. The smoker nation. Now we're out on the corners smoking, all right, you know. And smokers are affable people. You know, smoking is like a ritual that you do. You know, I'll talk about that a little bit later. But then the smoke drifts up into your apartment window, okay? And even if I'm sitting there watching the tube, eating popcorn, smoking a cigarette, it drives me nuts. There's a balance there, right? Quitting smoking, if anybody's got an idea, I'm not averse. Maybe I'll try quitting smoking on the air. What do you think?
Oh, wow. You're going to do that?
No,
you're
man.
You're going to drive me insane if you do that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
That'll be it for me.
But it'd be something that you could pretend to do. Go ahead and cut for the spots here, buddy.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.